This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Talking about James. All right, so just to recap, we had a few of these already. So James was Jesus' half-brother. So he walked and talked with this lad called Jesus for a while. And then as we sang this last song, I just picture myself in James's situation writing this book. Just like us singing about being glorified and seeing how his half-brother died on the cross and went through all this turmoil and being risen, he obviously had a very vivid revelation of this man. And we said it, Merichan said it last sermon as well. You know, it's not just his half-brother anymore, it's the Lord. And this is why, you know, this book is so special because of the revelation he had, not just because of a letter he wanted to write or something. And James 3, we'll get through it. We'll get through the gist of it. It's a pretty simple message, but you can see why he wrote it, because he cares, right? Cares for people because he had a revelation of the reality of Jesus Christ. All right, so let's get into it. So like Stephen said, it is a convicting scripture. And I'm not going to have a long sermon today, but today goes with a little bit of homework, and I'll tell you about it afterwards, okay? I think as we go along scripture by scripture, you'll get to the gist of it, what you need to do, and I pray that today God will just convict you a little bit, but also remind you of what to do, what to say after we leave this venue. All right, so let's get into it. All right, so James 3, I'm going to read the whole script, well, the whole section, 1 to 12, as one, all right, as a message, and then I'll go verse by verse and talk a little bit about it. All right, so let's start. James 1. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we all shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouth that they may obey us and return their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature in the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men, who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Let's stop this there. Let's just pray about the scripture. Let's bow our head for a while. Lord, thank you for this scripture, Lord. Thank you for inspiring James to write this, Father. And this morning, we're going to focus on what comes from out of our tongues, Lord. And may your Holy Spirit convict us, not condemn us, Lord. May we not leave here condemned, but just being encouraged, convicted, what we need to do and how we need to change, Lord. This is today, Lord, we give you all the honor and the glory, but come and speak to us and come and remind us of specific things that we need to change in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's start. So verse 1 is one of those oh moments. Who knows Homer Simpson, right? I grew up with that thing. It's not godly, but it's still funny. So You know, here I stand preaching the gospel, and the first verse is, let not many of you become teachers, right? So, anyone wants to teach next Sunday? Anyone welcome? Knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. All right, so that's a bit of a, you know, and it's even more severe in Deuteronomy 18, verse 20. But a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded is to be put to death. All right, so that's pretty harsh, eh? And, you know, that's why I'm going to say, you know, I'm going to focus on Scripture. Whatever I say, you know, is not of God. I don't want to be put to death, you know, not yet. So, Mrichan, you not? No. So that's why, and it's we're standing here, and it's not because it's fun. It's because we are called, you know, and we are asked. And I think we as teachers, whoever professes the gospel, you know, all of us are teachers. You know, if you stand and saying, God said this, you better quote Scripture, all right? If you're sure that God said it, it's always safer just to say, I think, I feel, but test it against Scripture. Okay, we get a lot of teachers out there that say, God says this. We even get young men and women. I know in my early 20s, a lot of our friends told us, God told me, you're going to be my husband or you're going to be my wife. Jerusha, my lovely wife, had a young guy coming to him in med school, to her in med school and say, God told me, you're going to be my wife. And she just said, okay, you know, pass the salt or something, you know. And, you know, I was not that guy, you know, obviously, so that he had to eat some humble pie, and he made a mistake, you know. He's a good guy, Christian, but I think he read scriptures like these very, you know, and earnestly and felt the gratitude of saying things like that, you know. So it's important for us to know, you know, that if God speaks to you, be careful about how you translate it, you know, because a lot of things can be lost in translation. All right, so that's for us as teachers quite a strict thing. So it starts off being quite convicting. So I'm convicted by it and say, if whatever I say here, I'll be judged. All right, so that's why this is not just a simple thing to do. Verse 2, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. So, I think I see a little bit of, you know, sarcasm in. So, in James's verse here, saying that, okay, whoever is perfect, please, you guys go ahead, you know. And, you know, you're telling us that nobody is. So, he's coming to the message of how powerful the tongue is, and all of us fail. All of us do that. All of us are guilty of it. So, there are so many ways our tongue can get us into trouble. All right, now as I read through these things, you know, I'm sure all of us can just say in our mind, yes, done it, done it, done it, done it, done it. Guilty, guilty, guilty. Gossip, slander, outbursts of anger, all through our tongue. Boasting, lying, cursing, criticism, verbal abuse, complaining. It goes on. There's two, just go on with a little list. Just a few of the things that we can, what bad things can come out of our tongue. Betraying people's confidence. And here's a little rider, a very important thing I want to hit home. You know, it's not just what comes out of our tongue nowadays, it's what we text. It's what we put on Facebook, what little comments and things we do on this, you know. I had to think about it this week and say, sometimes we actually subconsciously think God is still an old man with a Nokia 3310, right? You know, he doesn't know technology as much as we do. And I think he's probably laughing at us if we think that talk, said, guys, please, you know, I made this. This is, you know, I know everything more than you guys as a combination will know about it. So whatever we text, whatever we say, SMS, WhatsApp, those things, is our tongue, is our communication, isn't it? And we sometimes think, well, it's a little bit watered down, it's just not that important and things like that. And God knows that. You know? So all that I'm saying, and although it's convicting, think of it of what you actually put on that phone of yours and what you say to people as well. You know, I'm convicted by that as well. And the problem is, just to stop there for a minute with electronics, nowadays with the internet, it's dangerous, you know. So whatever you say, it's permanent, right? So I attended a little lecture about medical legal aspects, a lawyer that presented it, especially in the medicine field, about how dangerous a screenshot is. right? You say something and you want to delete it, but that person screenshots it, it's evidence. You can delete it a second later, and if they catch you, if they do the screenshot before you delete it, it's there, right? That's actually evidence in the court of law. And so texting things like that, you know, so be careful of what you say, and you can just think to yourself, especially if you're dealing with things that that might be a legal issue, you know, be very vigilant about that as well. So, and in so many ways, we also misrepresent and distort God's word, don't we? We use a scripture to our own benefit. We sort of, you know, bend the scripture around to make it suit ourselves or to hurt someone, you know. And the history is full of it for Christians hurting other people through scripture, just bending it, distorting it, and using it for the worse and for their own benefit. All right, so this is a quite negative message in the beginning, but we're going to turn it into positive. Amen? So we'll get through scripture by scripture, seeing what James has on his heart. And as I go along, think of things in your own life. All right? Verse 3, indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths, then they might obey us, and we turn the whole body. Look at also at ships. They are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. So, good analogy, but I think we all get the gist of it, right? Our tongue is a small part of our body, but it can do major things. Major damage, it can turn, it can do a lot. We can direct things, we can control things. We can even steer people or people's moods with our tongue. We can manipulate. We can seduce people into sin. And we can say things to discourage people to go after their dreams. So how often are people's dreams broken by someone else discouraging them? I hear a lot of testimonies of people in their youth being saying, "Now you're no good. You won't do this. You won't be able to do this." And good thing about those testimonies are when God comes through or someone comes through and says, "Listen, I believe in you. You can do this." Amen? The sad thing is it still happens. It happens very quickly and without those people actually thinking what they're saying. All right, so let's cover verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. So again, it's a big impact. The small part of our body can cause massive destruction if we don't use it properly. Verse 6 goes on, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body, and it sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. So the reality is it doesn't matter how beautiful you look on the inside, on the outside, sorry, the tongue is evil, makes your whole body look evil. So this is a mistake from my side. So you guys, I think we all get the message, you know. So you know, you might present yourself as amazing, and then the world of iniquity, it's quite harsh here. The tongue is set among the members, defiles the whole body. If you keep on gossiping, it defiles your body. Verse 7. For every kind of beast and bird, or reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. But there's a rider, there's a positive. The Holy Spirit can. Amen? He can change. He can set that unruly evil into place and help us with that. Amen. Right, here's one of the most convicting parts of this section. Is don't we do it as people all the time? With it, we bless our Father, God our Father, especially on Sundays, and with it, we curse men who has been made in the similitude of God. So, you know, that's for all of us, you know, just in this room. And it hits straight. You know, James doesn't pull any punches here. You can see he was on a mission when he wrote this section. Eh? It's good that we sometimes go through these things, the harsh words. All right, so verse 10, 11, 12. Basically the same concept. I put it all together. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? As no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Like I said, that conundrum of our tongue being the same, you know, for good and evil. Now, so as we read through the scriptures, I'm sure all of us had feelings, right? Had some ideas of, man, I messed up. I did this. I did that. Let's look at the positives. Let's look at some positives in the Bible. And it's not written down, these scriptures, but I want you to make some notes. Write down the chapters and then actually go and read it. You know, read it and see where in scripture did this person influence another person's life just by speaking truth and speaking positive. All right, so I want to stop there for a minute and just give you a little story about my life. It's nice to do offering and sermon at the same time because you combine it, right? So I was thinking about offering. I was thinking about obviously my youth and things like that. And that was an interesting time of my life. I told you guys that, you know, I was very driven, and my mom was actually worried. But in her wisdom, she just left me, right? I don't know if you were here at offering time, but I told them about how dedicated I was to studies, even when I was 10 years old, right? So, and my mom used to go to, you know, ask for advice, and the advice was, you're lucky, you know, you're lucky you have a son that's actually driven. So she didn't get anywhere. She just left me to figure it out on my own, and I'm glad she did. I was so bad at the age of 10 that I actually, we started exams that year, right? So standard 2 in the old days, grade 4. And I used to have crib notes, all right? So I have to have crib notes. I used it once only, but I took it twice to exam. And I didn't need it. You know, I knew my work, but I was so worried about failing. But actually, I was more worried about just getting anything wrong. You know, I was so hard on myself. And then I had a friend that was doing well as well, and we sat at the back of the class because the good kids always sat at the back, right? So the unruly ones are right at the front. So I used to like hang, right on my chair just a little bit just to look over his shoulder to see what he's writing, right? So was my fear of failing. And that year was a crucial year for me because at one of those exams, someone came to the teacher and said, they think I'm cripping, you know, they think I'm cheating. And then, I won't forget this one girl, it's a friend of mine, her name is Ruette Steyn. She stood up for me. She was quite a feisty lady. And she said, no, she knows me. She knows Albert, he will never do it. And I never knew to this day if the teacher knew, if I was looking, and there was one occasion, I was looking at just at the paper to get an answer, and if she knew it as well. But she was just my friend and standing up for me. And I still to this day don't know. But what she did was she helped me because I didn't know really what to say. I was guilty, of course, you know, it was the truth. And she said, she stood up for me, she spoke that positive word, and that was the last time I ever cheated in anything, you know, exam-wise. Because at age of 10, I realized, I can't do this, you know. This is not on. And then as the years went on, I realized, you know, I can do much better even not cheating, you know. So, And it worked out in such a big way in my favor. Then from that day on, I realized that there's more to life than just getting anxious about exams and things like that. And it's that word that made a difference out of a 10-year-old girl's mouth. So funny story is later on we went to high school and we used to stay friends. And she used to get tickets to the rugby every Saturday, Ellis Park in Joburg. And I used to love watching rugby. And then one day I would just say, please just marry me, you know. I just want to get tickets. I didn't know what I was saying. I didn't marry her. But it was actually a big thing because she went to her mom and said, Albert, propose to me. And it was a big thing at age 14, you know. So sometimes you have to guard your mouth about things like that as well. And I was just joking, you know. But apparently for ladies it's quite a big thing if someone proposes, right? No. Just kidding. But we're still friends. So actually, my homework is actually to go and ask her, tell her, thank you. You know, thank you for standing up for me. You know, I haven't actually told her that. You know, so that's just a little example. So positive tongues changing lives. John 4. All right, so I'm just going to recap the story, but please read it for yourself to get the detail, get the gist of it. So you guys know the story of Jesus going to the well, he's thirsty, and there's a woman there, a Samaritan woman, and she's asking him, why are you talking to me? Because I'm a lowlife, right? And he just converses with her, he chats to her, and he tells her something about I'm the living water, and somehow she initially don't realize it, and then he starts speaking truth into her life. right? He asked her something that she knew was not the truth, you know? So, are you married? And then actually she wasn't married because she was like having affairs, basically. She had a lot of partners. So he spoke into her life not to condemn her, but actually to change it, to speak, to remove that shame from her life because she was carrying that with her all the time. So that incident, when God spoke into her life, changed her life, right? And please read that last bit of the scripture where you can see she realized who she's talking to here, you know, the Son of the Living God. A beautiful story from, you know, from how things change as a conversation, as Jesus' tongue, his words, just, you know, first convicts her of something and then blesses her and sends her on her way to spread the gospel. Amazing story. Another one like that, John 21. Peter, remember, he basically denied Lord Jesus, so he was on a guilt trip, right? So, you know, you could think for yourself, if you denied the Lord Jesus three times, the rooster crows, how dramatic. You know, you can sit in second ashes. And then Jesus presents himself to them, to the apostles on the beach. And how would Peter feel? You know, you have to look this person in the eye that he just denied three times. But Jesus asked him those questions. So who do you think I am? Right? He asked him that three times. Who do you think I am? And then he said, you are the Son of the Living God. And then Jesus gives him purpose going forward. He doesn't... Are you okay, baby? Okay, I'm going to sit down. Me too, what? Oh, it's for Zaki. For me. Okay, I'll help just now. Okay. Ask my mom. Okay. So anyway, so here this scenario is on the beach that you got a guy struggling, right? He's struggling with his internal turmoil and he's worried about what Jesus might tell him, right? And Jesus actually said, no, here's your purpose. Forget what happened. Let me set you on your course. Just by speaking truth, speaking words in his life. All right, now we go to Old Testament, Abigail and David. So here's the story. Look, I must be honest. I didn't read the whole scripture. I get the gist of it, but I wanted to, and then we had some alarm troubles this morning, right? It happens, you know, like you have this going off and that kind of thing. Life happens. So I apologize that I'm not telling the whole story in detail, but it's about Abigail being married to a guy that's not godly. And basically, David wants to wipe him out. All right? Please correct me if you're wrong, the Bible teaches, if I'm telling the story wrong. But but she stood up for her family, and she actually made a lot of things to eat to David. And she presented and bowed before his feet and said, David, forgive this husband of mine. And David actually, just on what she did, she stood up and she stood the place. She stood in the gap for the iniquities of her husband. And she gave him counsel and he changed his ways. So here's a woman that took the courage and took the pride out and just said, I'm bowing before this king because I want to save my family. And she gave him counsel and he changed. Amazing. Amazing name, Abigail, eh? Good choice. So, sort it out. Don't have to go. Thanks, Derek. Gonna be a good dad one day. All right, here's another one in the Old Testament, Esther and Mordecai. Actually, it was a movie made of that, A Night with the King. Has anyone seen that? Okay. So basically, so Mordecai encourages Esther to go to the king, right? So she was also, you know, it's a big step for her, big thing for her. God tells her now, you know, go to the courts of the king. And Mordecai is the one that encourages her in her calling. And with that, changes the course of that nation, right? She also stood in the gap for a nation and changed the course of what would have happened to the Israelites. More positive examples. Song of Solomon, right? Basically, the whole book is a love song, right? So it talks a lot about the husband and wife, how the husband affirms his wife's beauty. Just by saying the words, you know, beautiful, beautiful poetry actually in that book. And for us as husbands, we can learn from that, you know. We're not always born with poetry in our veins, but we can definitely try. We can definitely say the things that are on our heart, actually just say it, you know, and humble ourselves a little bit to say, oh man, I'm a man, I can't say I love you, I can't say this or that. Sometimes we have to just let go of those things. Guys, eh? Amen. And tell our wives that we love them and we think they're precious and beautiful. And it's really something that Scripture teaches us. So it's not just something that's from Hollywood. Amen. Barnabas and Paul, here's another great story. Acts 9, 26 to 27. So basically Saul, all right, had this Damascus experience. God changed him, right? So he's a changed man. But now this changed man has to present himself to the apostles. The apostles weren't there at the road of Damascus. They don't know what happened to Saul becoming Paul, and his name was changed, and the experience they had. They just see this guy that persecuted and killed us, right? So here's a guy, Barnabas, who's actually the hero of the story here, who stood in the gap as well and told them, listen, guys, this guy is a changed man, right? He's not going to kill you guys. God met with him, and he affirmed him and helped the start of that ministry. And how important that is, all right? Someone to actually stand in for someone and say, I believe in this guy. You know, trust him. I believe what happened to him is real. And the rest is history. I mean, all those books we have, all the teaching, all that wisdom from Paul. And it had to be set up. And Barnabas did that through positive words. So, I think for us for each individual, we can learn from that, right? So sometimes the world teaches us it's you and you alone, all right? Your success, it's all about you, your happiness. But so much happiness comes from serving other people. Amen. I love that little proverb. It's just a, you know, it's not a biblical proverb, but it's at the end of a book called City of God. Has anyone read the book or saw the movie? It's an old movie. It's about this doctor working in India. And basically just his story through working in the slums of India. And end of the book is a small little line, and at the bottom it says Indian proverb. And the proverb is, all that is not given is lost. So I like that. I like that, you know, we are here to give. We are here to exhort and to help. And especially today we're talking about the tongue. We're talking about positive words. And we can learn from actually humbling ourselves sometimes and saying, less of myself. I'll humble myself and I'll actually be a little bit humiliated by texting that message and saying, listen, what you said made a big difference. Or what you told me made a big difference. It's not easy to sometimes to expose yourself a little bit. Or what you told me was hard, but it worked, you know. It changed my life. And that's giving back, you know. That's actually helping that person to realize, hey, I did a good thing, you know. It didn't fall on deaf ears, and it made a difference. And the more we do that, it's a habit, all right. Mirichan, you do it well. You know, you exalt people very quickly and easily, and I think it's because you're used to it. And what a difference it makes. All of us can testify to positive words and encouragement. So we can learn from that. So practical tips from Proverbs. Here's a little bit of just, you know, Solomon wisdom advice on how to control our tongue. Three things that we can learn from the book of from Proverbs. So sometimes it's just better just to stay silent. All right. So now I'm talking practical. Now I'm talking about everyday life. How, you know, we learn this in Scripture. We get the convicted thing, but sometimes. From Proverbs 17:28, he says, even fools are thought wise when they keep silent, but with their mouth shut, they seem intelligent. Okay? So it's a little bit of a funny thing for me, you know. So sometimes it's just okay to seem intelligent. If you open your mouth, you might just, you know, say the wrong things, you know. So there are situations when, you know, if you don't know what you're talking about, don't pretend. You know, you'll be caught out. Someone will actually just catch you out and saying, but you don't know. You know, so rather be honest. If you don't know what to say, rather say nothing. Watch your tone, especially important in marriage. You know, so our tones tell us a lot of things, and with us as men as well. I don't think we're on that level, you know, of interpreting tones and things. You know, so my wife knows me so well, so she knows where I'm cranky and what I need to hear, not to need to hear. You know, so I think marriage is a very good school for us. And how to communicate, right? How to watch our tone. A gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. Now, I heard that. I've seen it so many times in my workplace. You know, so I get quite upset with things if they don't work, if they don't, especially people that are lazy at work or neglecting people. And if I go on and fight them, they just put up a front and you don't get anywhere. But if you come in a way of, let's do this gentle, let's do this with love, let's speak to that people who isn't a wrong, sure, but you're not going to get anywhere if you just bombard them with anger. You guys know that, I've seen that as well in relationships, in the workplace. Always better to keep your temper in place and go with the gentle route. Sure, that some people will never, you know, respond to even gentle words, but I think it's always a best start, you know, to start it a gentle way and watch your tone as well. Think before you speak. Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the godly thinks carefully before speaking, the mouth of the wicked overflows with evil words. Amen. All right, so that's basically, like I said today, it's a quick one. It's a one that makes us think a lot. All right, amen. So the message is quite clear from these first 12 verses. And, you know, I know all of us have examples in our lives of harsh words spoken to us, of we speaking harsh words to someone else, and on the flip side, the positive things, of people speaking positive things in our life, like that friend of mine who actually stood up for me, and it changed. I think if I was humiliated before the class, and if the teacher did it, and I think in the back of my mind, the teacher also knew, but she knew somehow this child, you know, she knew that if you leave him alone, he'll sort himself out very quickly. If the opposite happened, if I was labeled as a cheater of the class, I don't know what could have happened to a little 10-year-old boy. It could have been broken, you know, and could have had that damage across. I was lucky, all right? But it just reemphasizes the power of words, you know. And so each of us know also the power of a positive word, a family member encouraging us. Someone's responding to a word that we tell each other. So that's basically our homework, all right? I would like to challenge you guys, at least for one person, one incident this week, either you need to repent of harsh things you said with your tongue, or you can bless someone, all right? Just tell them, send them a quick WhatsApp or text or phone them or go to them Facebook and say, listen, I think this, you know, something positive, something to exalt them or exhort them. Well, the third one is, respond to someone that did something to you positively, said a positive thing, encouraged you in your life, in your career, in your relationship. Normal things. Not a difficult thing to say, but it takes something from us, right? It takes a bit of an action from us to actually respond. So my plan is actually to contact Ruette again and say thank you, you know? I know you didn't realize it's probably not a big thing, but that was like, how many years ago? 32 years ago, you know? So, but it made a big difference in my life. And she probably forgot about it already. And I'm sure all of us have got something that's just hasn't happened yet, right? A conversation that hasn't happened yet. And I encourage you to humble yourself and make it a habit. You know, make it, the first time it's going to be, man, you're going to cringe. You're going to think, I'm uncomfortable with this. You know, I don't usually do it. But the more you do it, the easier it becomes. And it's just, and it's positive. It lifts you up as well. So I want to end off with a parable. That's not in the Bible. So, okay, so that's disclaimer from the start, right? So I won't be judged for it. It's just something I heard. I hope not. And then, but it illustrates a difference between mindsets, all right? So it's about a person's mindset, but I want you guys to just take it one step further about a mindset then turning into words, right? So how am I this or am I that in my words and the way I relate to people? All right. So I've got it on the screen. I'll read it out if you guys just want to sit back and listen. It's just a little analogy. If you guys want to read through it with me, you're welcome. So it's about the honeybee and the fly. All right? So analogy between the two. The honeybee flies from flower to flower, extracting only the nectar without disturbing the flower. The mindset of a honeybee is to seek the essence of each flower, even in a place filled with rotting garbage. Rather than giving its attention to all the filth, the honeybee keeps his focus on finding nectar. It eagerly flies to even a single tiny flower amidst miles of garbage. You guys got that picture? In our relationship, we have much to learn from the honeybee. He's teaching us the art of focusing on the positives and dealing appropriately with the faults in each other. There will be faults everywhere and in everyone. There's never a shortage of things to complain about. All agree with that? But just as the honeybee seeks nectar, even in the most unexpected of places, we can aim to seek the positive qualities in those around us. The fly represents another type of mindset in a relationship. Although each species can be appreciated for its peculiar instinctive nature, a particular instinctive nature, things are still, we can study them to learn relevant lessons to improve the quality of our own lives. In an otherwise healthy body, the fly will focus on sucking an infectious scab. The fly may travel over hundreds of flowers. What does it focus on? It focuses on tasting garbage and excrement. It ignores the sweet fragrance of rose gardens, and even in the best of circumstances and in the tidiest places, the fly will focus on the trash. This represents the mindset of ignoring the good qualities of those around us and focusing on their faults. It is so easy. It requires no effort to see the flaws in others. Fault finding is a habit. That struck to me. Just like positive words, positive encouragement is a habit, fault finding is a habit. And we can spot people that find fault all the time, right? They're very often on social media and very often have nothing good to say. And we know people like that in our lives. The more we give into it, the more we become obsessed by it. In relationships, it's important to have honest, well-wishing communication focused on appreciating the positive while dealing with the negatives in a gracious, constructive manner, trying to bring out the best in each other. Honeybee mentality or fly mentality, the choice is yours. So then I also like to say the words, you know, is it honeybee words you say or fly words you say? Are you focusing on the good or are you focusing on the bad? Amen. That's it in a nutshell. I want us to pray. Okay, I want us to just God to cover what our thoughts were today. And today I think I'm not going to call anyone specific to the front because I think it's something that you have to like that. So what our guys want, I want to focus on, you know. So if you need to now down in this church session right now and text someone or call someone or speak to someone here, that's important. You know, I want to give us a time. I made it short so there is time in the day. All right, it's not going to be a long sermon until 12 or 1 o'clock. But that's important to mend that relationship and take that as a challenge this week. If you want to do it to one person, great. But if you want to do it every day, there's a challenge, you know. And let's get into that habit.
This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Let's pray.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.